It's getting more interesting, and the material is just very, very good, and just there's hardly a way for us that we cannot learn something as we read the gospel accounts. It's really encouraging and really rewarding for us to go through this study of the life of Christ. And of course, any other study as well, but this one especially because it deals with the life of Christ. So I hope everybody's doing well this morning. I'm grateful to be here, and really glad that you're here this morning for the class. I hope you get something out of it and that you learn something new. I have a presentation. It's not a long one. I just have a few pictures to show you that might help us on the class. Hopefully they'll help us. But today we're going to go, if you have your Bibles, you want to open with me to the second chapter of the Gospel of John. We're going to start in the Gospel of John, and actually we're going to stay there in that account. And we're going to look at what happened in the latter part of this chapter 2. We're not going to see the first part of chapter 2. We're going to focus on the second part of chapter 2, on John chapter 2. Okay, in chapter 2 we found two accounts that John records for us. The first one being which one? Just starting with chapter 2. Okay, correct. Yeah, the wedding at Cana of Galilee. That's the first what we have. And what it seems here, and evidently what John the Apostle, John the Gospel writer did, he was trying to evidently do a different approach than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we have him giving us an account in chapter 1, chapter 2, of Jesus' early, very early ministry. When we talk about the synoptic gospels, talking about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they start a little bit later on his ministry, but he's giving us an account of his early, early ministry. Things that happened before what we read in the synoptic gospels. So we have in chapter 1 the calling of the first disciples, and then in chapter 2 we have them going into Cana of Galilee. So let me see if I can, let's see if we can follow along just real quickly. This is the map of Palestine in the times of Jesus. So what happened is, as we zoom in real there, Jesus, we remember he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, and then he went back to that section. We don't know if it's the same place. Some believe it's Bethany, around Bethany area. Some believe it is back where John was baptized. But he sees John again. He has another encounter with John, the Baptist. And that's when these disciples follow him. About at least 5 disciples, could be 6 disciples, as we read in the first chapter of John. So they travel from there to Cana. They go north. They go from Judea, and it could be Bethany area, it could be somewhere around, but it was definitely in Judea. So they travel to Cana, and that's what we read in John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. That's John 2:1. So the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples, which disciples? The one that John mentions in chapter 1. So they all travel north, and they're in Galilee at a wedding. Okay, and that's what Jesus performs, the first miracle, and is recorded there in John. Okay, we're not going to stay there at the wedding for now. We're going to move on to the next event. But it seems to me, and it seems like Jesus is not starting yet his ministry. Remember what he told his mother when his mother told him, "Help him out. There's something going on with the wine gone." And he answered, and he told her, "My hour has not yet come." Could he be talking about the beginning of his ministry? Could he be talking about beginning his ministry? He could be or not, but he said, "My hour has not yet come." But officially, without a doubt, we see him beginning his ministry. In the next account, we read what happened after the wedding at Cana. What they did then, they went to Capernaum after the wedding, and Jesus, his mother, his brethren, and his disciples. They all went to Capernaum. It's interesting that Mary and his brothers, being from Nazareth, which is not too far away from Capernaum, they went with Jesus to Capernaum. They must have had a reason to follow him to Capernaum, and they stayed there a few days. And then notice, and how do we know this? Because we read it in verse 12, John 2:12. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. So they were visiting Capernaum. So Capernaum was a commercial city. It was a busy city, commercial city, by the Sea of Galilee. So any city by the ocean, by the sea, by the lake is going to be an important city. It's going to have it's going to be a busy city. And also it was close to a highway, not to that city of Capernaum, not too far from a major east-west highway that crossed Palestine. So it was an important city. And then we're going to find out later that a lot of the miracles Jesus did were done in Capernaum. And Jesus made it kind of his headquarters, if we can use that word, that city of Capernaum. Who was living there in Capernaum? Who was, he was living there? You remember? They were not from Capernaum, but they were living there just recently, or we don't know how long ago, but they've moved to Capernaum. Wasn't it Peter and Andrew? Which they were from Bethany, but they were in Capernaum. Maybe Jesus was staying with them in Peter's house at Capernaum. It's probably. But okay, that's Capernaum there, right there. We'll be back to that city as we go along in our lessons, that city of Capernaum. Now, from there, what do they do from that city? They didn't stay there many days because there was something about to happen that they needed to be at that place. What do you think it was? What do you remember it was? What was that, brother? Correct, yeah. And if you would just keep reading, we will read verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Okay, so here's Jesus going back to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. So, was this the first time he went to the Passover feast? Okay, we at least know that his parents used to go, and we have an account of him going when he was 12 years old. Okay, each year the Bible reads, yeah, in the Gospel of Luke. So they go back to Jerusalem to the feast of the Passover, and then the Jews were required to go to that feast. It was crowded. A lot of Jews coming back for that feast, living abroad, and those living close by, and it was crowded about those days when the feast of the Passover. Okay, so Jesus attends his first Passover of his ministry, when he begins his ministry. First Passover of his ministry. And it's interesting that John gives us account of at least three Passovers. John gives us several feasts which helps us know how long Jesus' ministry was, because he mentions several feasts, and we know that when you mention the feast again, a year at least had happened, and then when you mention the feast a third time, then 2 years are behind, and so on. So we see Jesus here in her first Passover mentioned here in the Gospel of John. Okay, very good. So, first thing that happens when he comes to Jerusalem, to the temple, the dwelling place of God. First thing that happens, let's read what he finds out. Verse 14. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. He comes to the temple and he sees all these people doing business, selling oxen, sheep, exchanging coins and so on, and selling doves and selling animals. What do you think, what was the reason they were doing all of this at the temple? And it has a, it has explanation. We can find out about it and on history as well. But we see here John telling us, okay, I forgot just to put that last hour or arrow where they went down to Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem right now at the temple. Okay, very good. Let me just move on real quick here. Notice something very important before we go into the details of this event. John mentions the cleansing of the temple. Matthew, Mark, and Luke also mention the cleansing of the temple. But you notice there's two different times for those cleansing of the temples. John is talking about one of them, and the Synoptic Gospels are talking about another time, another cleansing of the temple. We can spot some differences of these two cleansings that we read on the book, on the Gospel accounts. For instance, notice in the first place, the first cleansing of the temple happened at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He was just beginning. First things he did in his ministry. First place he went at his full-time ministry. But notice when we go to the Synoptics, they put Jesus' cleansing of the temple at the end of his ministry, almost at the last week of his ministry, when the tension was really high, and everybody was just ready to kill him, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the high priests, they were just ready to finish with him, and that's when the second cleansing happened. So this is not at all a contradiction. These are two accounts of two different events that the gospel writers record here for us. And there's another difference. If we read in the book of John, as we were going to read, he mentioned that he made a whip of cords. So he had a whip in his hand. Cords. And with this whip, he was chasing out the animals that were there and driving them out of the temple. But if we go to the Synoptic Gospels, there's no mention of him taking a whip or anything. There's no mention of it. There's a difference in there. Did he use a whip in the second time? We don't know, but it's not mentioned. So that's a difference that we have in these two accounts. Okay, so another difference. Notice that in the first account, I probably should have just read it before going over these differences. But notice in John 2, I'm going to read verse 15, where I stop. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And notice what he said. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Okay, so he's commanding them. He's telling them, cease doing this. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop making my father's house a house of commerce, just a place for business, when it should be a spiritual place. But the Synoptic Gospels, if you read in the other accounts, it's too late to tell them to cease. It's too late. They are already done. They kept on doing it. They evidently didn't heed to Jesus' first warning. They kept on doing it, and it was too late for him to warn them. So there's no warning in the accounts of the Synoptic Gospels. And notice last, he told them, "Do not make." Notice the difference on the wording. Do not make, or stop making, or quit the process of making my house a place of merchandise. But in every account, if you go and take the time to read the account of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're all going to have this same phrase. You have made. You have made my house a den of robbers. You made it. I told you not to do it, but you made it a den of robbers. Too late. It's already done. It's already a place, den of robbers. And it was on Jesus' last week on his ministry. He was very close to die. And you know, when Jesus Christ died, you know what happened to the Jewish customs, the temple worship and everything else? It was basically discarded by God. So it was too late for them to change at the end of Jesus' ministry. So that's some of the differences between these two different accounts of the gospel writers. Okay, any comments so far right here? Okay, Rachel, raise your hand. Okay, I thought you raised your hand. Okay, very good. Okay, so that's some of the differences there. Okay, now why if there were two separate events, why are they both not recorded in the Gospels? Two separate events. Well, not both of them are recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And why not both of them are recorded by John? Wouldn't it be easier just to record both of them and just leave us wondering? Well, the answer is not too hard, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they omit entirely Jesus' early ministry. They don't mention the very early ministry of Jesus as John is doing. Okay, this Judean ministry of Jesus very early, they omit it because they abbreviate their account. But when we go to John, John mentions the first, the early ministry of Jesus, but he omits some of the many events of the latter part of Jesus' ministry. For instance, John omits the cleansing of the temple later on, and John omits the institution of the Lord's Supper, things that happened later in Jesus' ministry. So, why did John do this? Well, because these things were already stated in the three other Gospels. So John says, there's no need for me to restate what they already said. I'm going to say something different. So they complement each other. This is what happened. They complement each other, all the Gospel writers. So no reason to mention them both when three of them already mentioned it. There's no reason for John to mention it a fourth time. He's mentioning something different. Okay, very good. So as we go to the temple, and I just give you a couple of pictures here. That's the temple, and I believe that's actually a picture of a scale, of a really replica at scale size back in Jerusalem. I see persons just taking pictures, big, like giants. You'll see giants on the background. They're not giants, it's just that this is a really small replica. So that's the temple right there. That's how it would look like in that time. So we remember, was it the temple that Solomon built? No. Okay, correct. Who built this temple then, if it wasn't Solomon? And what had happened to Solomon's temple? Okay, yes, it was destroyed by the Babylonians, the first temple of Solomon. But then, after captivity, Zerubbabel and a group of men come back and rebuild the walls, rebuild the temple. Ezra as well is part of that. And that's not that temple either. It was torn down to accommodate for this higher, bigger temple. And this was made by Herod the Great, which was a really good architect, and very constructions there are of his time that he commanded. Okay? So Jesus went to Jerusalem to begin his ministry, and what a place for Jesus to begin his ministry, Jerusalem. A place that would take importance also for the Christians. Remember how the apostles were commissioned to take the gospel beginning at where? Beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. So Jesus is also beginning his ministry in Jerusalem, taking a spiritual meaning for Jesus' ministry and also for us as Christians. That's where the gospel came from the city of Jerusalem. So we see Jesus beginning fully, with all the power, his ministry there at Jerusalem. So it was fitting for him that he should enter upon the temple and to begin his ministry into this city of Jerusalem to begin his ministry. Okay, so if we remember, at age 12, Jesus had been to the temple before, and he was asking questions. He was being very respectful of those men. But at this time, he comes in a different attitude. This time he comes with divine authority. This time he comes with power, different at time, different way to coming back to the temple. Not as he was when he was 12 years old, different time now when he's coming to the temple. Okay, so when we read the gospel accounts, there's two words for temple. One of them is the word naos, which refers to the sacred part, which is what you're seeing on the picture. Let me see if I can. Okay, that's the naos, the sacred part, where the holy, most holy place. That's the naos, temple. There's a word for that, temple. There's another word for temple, which is hieron. Hieron, it refers to all the complex, everything around it. So they have two different words, one for the most sacred part of the temple and one for temple as general. Okay, so this is a little bit of a close-up. And now, this hieron, or general temple, was divided into four courts. And I'm not going to go into depth in the courts, but I'm going to show them to you real quick. There were four courts of this hieron, this general temple. Okay, one of them was the court of the woman. Okay, which I hope you're able to see right there. Court of the woman. Okay, then the other one was the court of the priests. I hope you can see the word priest there, which was right there before the entering the holy place and the holy of holies. And then behind it, in the back, there's another court which is called the court of Israel. Okay, I'm not. You know already by these names that no woman was allowed beyond their courts, and definitely no Gentile was allowed inside any of these three courts. If we were Gentiles, we were going to the temple, wanted to be there, the only place we would be able to be is in this fourth court, which is the court of the Gentiles, which is the bigger part of the flooring there, the court of the Gentiles. So this is the place where Jesus comes. And in the court of the Gentiles is where all these money changers and all these who sold oxen were placed at, in this bigger court. So we have, that's a really good picture of the temple as it was. So they had temple commerce. Temple commerce resulted from the Jewish feasts and from people coming from all over to celebrate the Passover, and I suppose a lot of them, or most of them, could not travel with animals all this long way. Some other commentators mentioned that they were not allowed to bring their own animals for the sacrifice. So what must they do? They must travel themselves and buy an animal at the temple in order for them to use for sacrifice. Oxen, sheep, even doves were sold there. And so that's why the temple commerce came about. The bad part was that it's something that began to help those who travel. It became something corrupt in the possession of the priests, and seems like the Sadducees were the ones in control as well of everything here, and it was just a way to make income for them. They were just ripping people off and just getting income. This way. So you imagine why Christ was really upset about this. Poor people traveling from all over, being ripped off by this who's supposed to be the leaders of the nation. And that really got him angry. Very angry, as we're about to see. Okay, so that's why. Now, they had their own currency in there. It's very interesting how if you go, I've never been, but if you go to Italy, to the, what is it called, the Vatican, they have their own currency too. They have their own currency. I don't know how that works, but here, Gentile coins were not allowed in the temple, period. So for their convenience, they were money exchangers, there to exchange those pagan coins for temple coins, which they can use to to buying animals or use whatever purpose that we're going to use them. So that's why there were money changers at this time. And everybody was at those court of Gentiles. So it's a big business going on. And the priests were getting the best part of it. And it's not too different from nowadays. It happens, it still happens. A lot of people getting rich on behalf of the more poor. And same thing was happening there. Okay? Very good. So that's the temple right there. So I'm going to give you just, this is, before we continue reading, the last illustration, that's a general picture of the temple as it was in time of Jesus. And again, I think that's again a picture taken of that replica. And if you notice, I don't know if I can, this is right here in the corner, that's to be the pinnacle of the temple, right there. It depends on the way you see it. You will see like a bird flapping his wings. Maybe you see it from the corner, open like this. But that should be what the devil took Christ to jump up to the Kidron Valley. But that's the court of the Gentiles. All of this was the court of the Gentiles. Big, big, big place. Amazing a structure to behold. And so there it is. Okay. Now let's go to the text as time permits. We're almost, we still have 15 minutes, enough time to cover as much as we can. Okay. Now verse 14, I already tried to explain that he found those selling oxen and sheep and doves and money changer doing their businesses. Okay. Now verse 15, when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep. The tables. There is different opinions. Some believe, like McGarvin believes, that he drove out just the animals, not the people. But there is no doubt that when we go to the other, to the Synoptic Gospels, to the latter account of this cleansing, that he definitely drove out the people. Later, he could have very well done it at the beginning. So, he drove them out. As I read it in the New King James, seems like he drove, let me read it again. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. Doves. It seems to me like he run everybody out, looks like. But we cannot, I cannot assure you, but it's what it looks like as the text read. Okay, so that's verse 15. I hope I'm not losing you. I hope I'm still here with me and not, I hope you're not back there in the temple right now. Yes, well. That's correct. Good comment, brother. Yes, and I'm also like you. I'm learning as I go. So it's fine. If I don't know the answer, we'll save it for Brother Rick. But it was mutilated, so he couldn't go beyond the court of the Gentiles. Correct. Very good. Okay, so, doves. Okay, there were people selling doves. Evidently, we remember Jesus' parents offering doves. There's something I want to mention. McGarvey points out that there was not a loss of goods here. If he turned over the coins, the table with the coins just lay there on the floor. No, he didn't. They didn't die. They just run away. They can recover them. So there was no loss of income or Okay? Now, though, of course, yeah, what I mentioned, the doves were in those cages, okay, so they couldn't just fly away. It was up to the... So there was no waste of property. That's what I was just mentioning. Okay? Notice the latter part of verse 6. And this rebuke is a rebuke to those in charge of doing this commerce. It was belonging to them, and the money changers were just their agents, a way for them to get the income. And one of the totally off, but one commentator dares to say that there was about a 30,000 yearly income for this. About those who have don't know about how much just an ox, an animal costs, you know it's a lot of money. Okay, so that was the income they were receiving. Okay, so now house of merchandise. He's showing his authority. He's showing is his father's house. This was definitely an attitude the Messiah would take. And it's also showing his zeal. Showing his, not only his zeal, but also showing his authority in front of this authority. Also, this also shows us that he is divine. Because who would have also shows us that they understood what he meant, because then the Jews said, so verse 18, so the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us to your father's house? What sign do you show us? And I agree that his not even the Pharisees, not even the Jews, nobody stopped them. Right here showing his divinity. His divinity. And also this is them an answer. He tells them. Notice verse it up. Now, in the latter account, there's temple. And if you remember, these words of Jesus were later used again, that he mentioned that. Okay, so talking about the temple of Solomon, the temple of Herod. What was he talking about? John makes comments explaining what he's writing about, and both what he writes about, body. This is John explaining what Jesus meant as he was. Some comments. Also, he likes to exclude himself from the account. He doesn't mention his... Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Many... he was going to walk on the ocean, on the sea. But there was not a sign as big... sale. Who had done it? Nobody had done it. We read in verse 17. I'm going a little bit backwards now. Then his disciples. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Notice what they reply. A temple, or Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection on the third day. So they didn't know what he was talking about. It took him 3 years to understand what Jesus said. And for people to react to that. And it happens to us. As they have lived in such a long time, it would once say, more than the time to build the temple. This was something majestic, a really when they saw the signs which he did. Okay, he remained there at the man. Another sign of his divinity. He How interesting is this, how Jesus didn't trust them.